Exodus chapter 14, if you haven't, say amen.
Amen.
And the Bible reads, "And as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. And so the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us this way, bringing us out of Egypt?'" Ain't that something? Taking you to where you need to go, but bringing you out from where you were. And then he goes on to say, is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish by you to this day. For the Egyptians whom you see now, you will never see again." And he goes on to say, "Forever. The Lord will fight for you, and while you keep silent." Verse number 17. Well, verse number 18. Verse 17. "And as for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, so they will not go in them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen." Here we have the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Now, granted, they've been in Egypt for 430 years. What got them there was a favorable circumstance, Joseph. When they were there, when they first got there, they got there because of Joseph. But the situation changed when Joseph died. The Bible said that there arose a king that did not know Joseph. And so they wanted to make it hard on the Israelites. So for 430 years, they did not even hear from God. So the thing about it, they got to the point to where God had made some things happen, and he had brought them out of Egypt to the promised land, going to the promised land. And then they got to the point where their problem was behind them, and their solution was in front of them. But what was in the middle? So what do you do in your own life when you get caught up in the middle? What do you do when you get caught up in the middle? What do you do when you get caught up in a situation you've been going through for a long time and trying to get out of it and trying to get to that next situation, but you got comfortable in the middle? What gets you past the middle is acceptance. When you accept where you've been, and accept where you're trying to go and what it takes to do that, then you can get caught up out of the middle. So these people are sitting up there, they're complaining about what's going on, what's happening to them. And you can look at our own lives. You know, we've been in situations in ourselves to where we've been caught up in situations where we want to change. We want to get better. You ever been in a situation you wanted to get better, you've been there for so long, you got used to it? You ever been in a situation where pain got comfortable? Well, let down got okay. Well, put down got to be part of the day, and you got used to that. It's just like being an alcoholic. You know, once they've been doing it for all their life, and then they want to change, and then they get to the point where anytime a trouble come up, guess what they go back to? They go back to what they were used to. They go back to the problem. Well, they didn't think it was a problem. They thought it was a solution. But the thing about it is when we get to the point where we've been there so long, and then we try to change, we reflect back on what got us through the last time. What got us through the last time, what kept us down. And now what we're trying to do, we're trying to get to the point where we change. See, the Egyptians kept them down. They kept them in bondage. They beat them. They ridiculed them. They made them look bad. And they wanted to go back to that because they got comfortable in it. They got used to the Egyptians. They got used to being the way they were, even though it wasn't no good for them. So when they get to the point of where we get to the Red Sea, now they feared what they knew more than what they were trying to find out. They feared where they came from more than where they were going. So when we look at the situation, they said, "Why did you do this?" But look at what God says to Moses. God says, "I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart." What is it? You mean you're going to make my trouble keep coming at me? He said, I'm going to make your trouble keep coming after you so I can show you who I am. Have you ever felt like you go to God in prayer and seem like your trouble gets more and more every time you pray to him? It builds up. Your trouble builds up the more you pray. God might be sending your trouble a message. Go ahead on and get close to him, because I got something for you when you get there. So if we look at what God is doing for us, we need to understand that God got your back. You just got to be patient. Just wait on him. These people, they were so comfortable in being uncomfortable that they said, you know what, I'd rather go back to Egypt and serve the Egyptians than to go to where God is trying to take me. This God that I just found out about, where he's trying to take me. But look at what God said, I'm going to get glory out of what I do to them. How can you get glory out of what you do to them? Go to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, verses number 9. How does God get glory at what he does to somebody else? Joshua chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says what?
And said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land.
Now this is the two spies that come upon the harlot. She's hiding them out. But look at what she tells them about what they done heard. Keep reading.
And that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan.
She said, we have heard about you guys. Not only about you, but what the Lord did for you.
Yes.
About how what he did to an Egyptian. What he's saying, what she's saying is, God will send your enemies your report. He will send your enemies will know about you before you get there through him. About what God will do something in your life to where it'll show up and your enemies understand it. To where they'll say, you know what? I know what I want to do, but I'm going to leave you alone. Because of that God you serve. Or I'm going to change because of that God you serve. So what do we do when we caught up in the middle? And sometimes what happens is, and it happens to all of us in some kind of way. Anybody here got children? You got more than one child?
Yes.
Both of them think they're right when one of them is wrong and the other one is right. But they come to you with a situation that they both are right. And you kind of try to work it out for them. You try to show them what the situation should be. But they always want to point out they both are right. So you're caught in the middle of a situation to where I'm trying to show you, but you're not seeing what I'm saying. So you're caught up in the middle of that. When family members go against one another and you get there, they always want to call you to take somebody. Anybody will call you want to take their side? They want to call you to take, you know, they're going to call you before anybody else call you. Or they're going to show up before anybody else so you can take their side. But like, wait a minute, what did the other person say? What are they talking about? So when you get caught up in the middle, how do you handle that? The children of Israel had to deal with believing and trusting God and trusting what Moses had. But the thing about it is, if you look at them as you go on, they were a problem for years. They were a problem for years. You've been going through something for a couple of weeks, and you want to give up now. You've been going through something for a couple of weeks. The thing about it is, remember, they had not heard from God in 430 years. Let somebody not call you in a month. You not hear from somebody in a month you've been dealing with, and they don't call you in a month, and you didn't hear from them. Guess what? Who are you? What do you need? What do you want? Because, you know what? I haven't heard from you. But see, God dealt with, that's why sometimes we get on the Egyptians, the Israelites so much, because why, after all the stuff that God did for them, you know, all the plays that he did for them and showed them who he was. And then sometimes we look at them and we say, you know what? After that first one, I didn't believe it. After that first, you know, y'all saw the movie. The Ten Commandments, y'all saw the movie, all the stuff that he did.
Yeah.
Wait till Easter, y'all see it again. But he was, all that stuff, we ourselves say, if I'd have saw the Red Sea parting, I'm done. I'm through with whatever you say. But these people have saw what the Egyptians did for 430 years. So you got a phantom. You know what? There's a lot of deep programming they got to get out their system. There's a lot of deep programming we got to get out of our system. Because we've been through some things in our lives that we're still trying to deal with. And we've been in the church for 30 years. And we're still trying to deal with some stuff we're trying to deal with, we're trying to get rid of. But what about the one that's been here 30 days? You know, we'll jump on them because they'll come up against something and they'll fall away. They've been here 30 days. You've been here 30 years. And you want to put them down because they messed up in their 30-day program. See, what we'll do, we'll put them on a program. Put them on a program and say, okay, you got 30 days to get it right, or we're going to come back and check you out. Who checked you out in your 30 years? Who checked you out? The only one that can check us out is God. Amen. And so when we look at what we're going through and what we're dealing with, we have to understand that we're in a process. We're in a process. Right now, we're in a process of trying to change, trying to move. We're in a process. And the thing about it is we're stuck in the middle. Right now, as a congregation, we're stuck in the middle. So what do we do? One side complains, one side murmurs, and one side waits. So what we have to understand is, what side are you on? Because if you trust God and trust in what God is doing, because we as leaders, we see things what God is doing, is he working? Some things that come up that frustrate us. You know, y'all not the only one to get frustrated. We get frustrated too. But then God, when he sees frustration in us, he shows us the next level. Then we'll say, oh, okay, I see what you're doing, Lord. God will change the situation just like that. We get a word 1 week, the next week, the week, the word didn't change. Okay, no, that got fixed. We complained about something that got fixed. Oh, we got fixed. Who fixed it? God. God fixed it. You know, you were too busy complaining to hear what he was telling you, so he fixed it through somebody else. See, one thing, God will fix it through somebody else. He don't have to use you. He'll fix it through somebody else. So when we get caught in the middle of our situation, in the middle of our circumstances, in the middle of our predicaments, what do we do to trust? Y'all see me close my Bible? I saw some of y'all get excited. Some of y'all sit up. He closed the Bible, y'all. He flew. No, I'm not. I just know where I'm going. I got 2 more pages to do. No, I don't. But anyway, when we look at what we're going through and how we deal, how do you deal with when you're stuck in the middle? Because sometimes what it'll do, it'll throw you off. It'll cause you to get frustrated and want to quit. But see, sometimes God will put some problems in front of you because he's already taken care of it behind you. When we look at how we do that and how we do that in a situation, sometimes we cause our own problems. We make our own problems. We make our own situations the way it is because we think we know it all. Because, you know, we think we know it all because I'm grown. You know, I'm grown. You know, once we get past 15, you're grown, right? That's what our kids tell them. You know, I'm grown now, I'm 15. When they get the keys to the car. Amen. What happens is God gave you the Bible, you think you got the keys to the car. Because you know 2 scriptures. But when we look at what we're doing in our lives and our situation, we need to understand, what are we doing to make it right in the middle? Once we get past the middle, guess what? We can move on to the solution. The solution is trusting God. You know, there's a story about this young lady that was talking to her dad. Her dad was a preacher. And she was telling her dad, you know what? Her dad said, well, how's that young man that you were dating? How's he doing? She said, Dad, I haven't talked to him in 2 years. She said, well, what's going on? What happened? She said, well, we were going through some situations, and he wanted less than what I wanted. And he wanted me to compromise my values. And so we talked about it. And every time he called me, I would tell him about what's going on and how I feel about my values. But he never would understand it, so he kept on calling. And so every time I would talk to him, he'd say, well, he tried to convince me to change my values. And so the dad said, well, when's the last time he called? He said, he called me last week. He said, y'all been broke up for 2 years? And he still call you? And she said, well, Dad, that's confusing to me. Why does he still call me? You know what her dad told her? Her dad said, he calls you because you keep answering the phone. The devil calls us because we keep answering the phone. Y'all know that, y'all know, y'all got to call ID on the devil. You know, y'all know who that is. And it don't have to be, it ain't the devil per se, it's the one the devil sent. Y'all got the call ID. But the thing about it is, as long as you keep answering the phone, they're going to keep trying to get you to compromise. The devil wants you to compromise, because right now you're in the middle. You're in the middle right now. He wants you to compromise. He wants you to go back to the problem. You know, sometimes what we'll try to go back to the problem and fix it ourselves. But we turn it over to God. We say, God, fix this for me. And then we'll just go back and try to fix it ourselves. Anybody ever took your car to the mechanic, and you could, you know, you took your car to the mechanic and you tell them to fix your car, and while they're in there working on you, you say, give me some tools too. Let me help you. That's just what we're telling God. I want you to fix this, but let me have some tools so I can help you. He don't need no help. He don't need no help. And what we need to understand is, the only way we're going to get past our middle is understand what the solution is. He's the solution. And when we get to where he is, understand what he wants us to do, and quit answering the phone, then guess what? Then he'll stop calling. He'll stop calling. So what if I change my number? Don't worry about it. Don't change your number. Change your answer. When you do that, then guess what? Because guess what? Ladies, I'm going to tell y'all, me and y'all, I'm going to do a Steve Harvey thing on y'all now. They're going to do just what you let them do.
Right.
As long as you let them.
Right.
But guess what? The way that things are right now, the women are more aggressive than the men these days.
They are.
So I'm telling you, I got to get my brother card back. Because I don't want y'all to beat me. I don't want Nate to beat me in the back. So what we understand is, the devil knows your number. He knows your number. But guess what? He used to call you often. Sometimes you used to call him. You know, what you doing? I ain't heard from you lately. You ever tell the devil, I ain't heard from you lately? You ain't heard from him? Because you don't recognize what he's been doing. He's been talking to you, you just don't recognize it. But when you got off and you start compromising, then you understand, okay, you know what? This is where I went wrong. This is why I went wrong. That's why I'm in the middle right now. So we understand that some people right now are in the middle of a choice. You're in the middle of a choice right now. You've been going through situations in your life right now. You've been seeking God. You've been seeking God for years in so many ways. But God's been right there telling you where he is and what you need to do to get to him. But we've been trying to find out another way. You know how we get another way when God comes to us? We get a second opinion. You get a second opinion. What second opinion does, they change what God has set up. Now, it's all right to go to a doctor to get a second opinion. It's all right to go to a mechanic to get a second opinion. But in God's word, the only one to give a second opinion is Satan. Satan would give you a second opinion. Ask Eve. He gave her a second opinion. The thing about it is, All God wants you to do is listen to him. The same thing as Satan. All Satan wants you to do is just keep talking. As long as Satan gets you talking, he got a chance. That means as long as you're talking to him, that means you're listening to what he's saying. But when you start finding out what he's saying and understand it, look at what God is saying. Everybody know what God is saying to you? Get out the middle and come on over to the solution. He's a solution. And see, sometimes we have to understand when we get to where we are and we forget we can't go no farther, turn it over to God. You can't go no farther, turn it over to God. And let God take you the rest of the way. Everybody stand to your feet. Some of y'all jumping up, boy, look at you. You know, we talk about becoming a, you know, we talk about our understanding of what we need to do to become a part of the body of Christ, but become a part of Christ. To find out where you are in your life and where Christ wants you to be. If they don't add up, you need to look at the Bible and put it up to your face and see if it's a mirror. When you put your word of God up to the mirror, do you see you or do you see Christ? Because sometimes when we try to make people become disciples, we won't be disciples of us. And not of Christ. But the Bible tells how we do that. You know, we have just a prime example. He said that there's an Ethiopian eunuch said, No, see, here's water.